Where the River Shines by Dan Rabbits. Tarawera Ranges, North Island, New Zealand, 1896. With a sick gasp and the stink of burning metal, the tractor's propane motor rattled to a halt. Uh-oh, Barry Ferguson's voice filtered into the hansom. Lachlan King heard the young man hop down from the cab with a squelch of mud, probably sinking up to his knees in the quagmire that had once been the track they'd been following. Lachlan popped open the hatch of the covered hansom and peered out into the downpour. Ferguson, what's the hold-up? We have a thief to catch, remember? Well, Barry called, over the rain hammering against his oilskin coat and soaking his hair. See that smoke there? Lachlan squinted. What about it? That's meant to be steam. That's bad, I trust. I'd say so, sir. Yes. Not a good place to break down, lad. He cast his eye over the ranges, shrouded in mists that were older than the hills, older than time. The primordial long white cloud. Leave it with me. Barry threw Lachlan what could, under the circumstances, only be described as a jaunty wave. You know where the lever is if you need it. As the Clankerton trudged around the tractor with his toolbox in hand, Lachlan tugged the hatch shut, comforted only slightly by its hollow metal clang. He might have been encased in iron, but that didn't mean to say the warriors of Naitohai couldn't drag him out into the mud and carve out his heart, or whatever it was they did to their prisoners. But he needed the Naitohai, however absurd an idea that was, to help him track down Francis Ascot and bring back what he had stolen. It would not serve him well to continue thinking of them as the enemy. He listened to Barry, clanging and whistling away in the mud, a colonial farm boy as happy as a pig in muck. Lachlan could think of nowhere worse to be, other than his father's house, he groused silently. But how long before the old man was no longer around? Unconsciously, he patted his breast pocket. He had read the letter from London so many times he knew every word by heart, yet still he wondered if it could be real. So the old man's sickness had finally caught up with him, and he probably wouldn't last out the London winter. Meanwhile, the ministry had a position free for Lachlan King in the office when he was ready to return. England, her cool rains in the summer, and the comfort of soft snows blanketing the hedgerows in winter. How he missed her white cliffs, her lilting songs. England, a world away where he belonged. Nevertheless, it was somewhat disturbing to have people in high places keen on your every dark, blasted secret. If the ministry knew of the schism within the King family, what else did they know? Maybe, he thought ruefully, it's not that I belong in England. Maybe it's that I belong to England, or to her eyes and ears at the very least. A sudden rapping on the hansom startled Lachlan, and he cranked open the hatch. All done, Ferguson? That might have to wait, Barry said. If you'd be so good as to pull the lever, sir. Dark, indistinct figures were emerging from the punga trees, weapons of carved wood and stone held low. Oh, Lachlan said. I see. He wrenched the lever. There's a good chap! Barry quipped as he hauled himself up and began tugging on handles and dials. Metal slid and slammed around them as airlines hissed. The handsome walls shifted, opening slits wide enough for a pistol, while a set of gears on the back of the handsome cranked and a telescopic handle set and eyepiece dropped down in front of Lachlan. Polished brass grips and guards fitted smoothly into his palms, his fingertips resting lightly on the triggers. He peered into the periscope as his chair craned up, allowing him to swing the entire contraption and look, as it were, down the barrels of the twin machine cannons now bristling from the top of their battle tractor. However, he was not here to start a war. There was plenty of that going on already. He was a gentleman and would not fire the first shot. He would not use the Empire's hot lead to cut down men armed only with sticks and stones, unless he had absolutely no other choice. His family had been knights not so very long ago. Lachlan King knew a thing or two about honour. He swung left and right, searching. Bodies slipped between the trees, coming ever closer. Damn it! Stupid army Clankerton hardware! Barry's words were followed by the sudden, heavy squelching of his boots slurping through the mud. Ferguson, get back in the tractor, lad! They'll tear you to shreds! Lachlan swung the cannon mechanism in wide arcs, trying to get a view of the track, but the machine did not swing that low. It would be folly to think he could wait for the enemy to come to him. By the time they reached the tractor, the guns wouldn't be able to turn to face them. Then he saw Barry. Like a farm boy who has never seen a war, the lad was trudging out through the mud towards the enemy, nary a weapon upon his person, waving his hands over his head and shouting. "Ferguson," Lachlan muttered, "what in the blazes are you doing?" This became clear moments later, as Ngātahi warriors flowed from the trees and pushed the boy to the ground. Barry Ferguson was surrendering. With his hands over his head and with consequent awkwardness, Lachlan pushed open the handsome door and climbed down. His feet sank into the muck, sucking at his boots as he stepped away from the battle tractor. Around him, several wide-eyed Māori warriors stalked closer, knees extended, tongues tasting the air, weapons quivering in their hands, long heartwood taiaha and carved stone patu. More men knelt among the trees, black iron muskets poised. Barry was being hustled back towards him, the lad's grimy hands held above his head, that indefatigable grin plastering his muddy features. "Surrendering to the enemy isn't exactly ministry protocol, lad." "Better this way, sir. It's not the Māori way to kill non-combatants out of hand. Mind you, if we'd tried fighting them, we might be dead by now."
"So you just saved my life?"
Barry shrugged. "Sorry, sir, I'll try not to make a habit of it."
"Never mind," he sighed, his attention turning from the circling warriors to a figure approaching from the tree line. "Good day," Lachlan called, trying to coax some good humour to his voice. If they were to be prisoners, they may as well try to get off to a friendly start with their captors.
The approaching man paused, inspecting the Pākehā. White hair sprang from beneath his battered bowler hat, his face a pitted landscape lined with the dark tracing of many moko. He might be 50 years old or 90, for all Lachlan could tell. He walked with care, as if he fancied the preponderance of making the prisoners wait. Only a mischievous twitching at the edges of his thin lips hinted that the old man might be making a game of what was, in Lachlan's view, a most serious business. However, Lachlan was not here to dally. He was on the trail of a dangerous criminal. In all the flurry of failing engines and enemy advances, he had not lost sight of his mission. Stopping short of the muddy track, the old man looked them over, his eyes twinkling. The rain streamed in small, shifting cascades off the rim of his hat and rolled away down his feathered cloak. Lachlan resisted the urge to wipe streaming rivulets from his own face. "Ow," said the old man, eyes roving over the battle tractor, its twin machine cannons hanging limp over the hansom. "What do you call this, then?"
"It's a Massey York-class tractor modified by the British Army for an all-terrain field operations," Barry jumped in, complete with predictable enthusiasm, an equally predictable lack of tact, and a complete absence of understanding over the imminent danger.
"But put me in a room with the guy who designed this piece of junk, and I'll tell him a thing or two about how to build a tractor. Needs a secondary low-torque gear set for starters, and maybe a cooler fuel source, or else the propane regulator overheats when you lose traction, especially with all that extra weight on the back."
Ferguson jerked a thumb at the cannons and their steel-plated armatures, while the old man stared at him intently.
"Mind you, filing the boiler with its propane has its advantages. Saves us hauling a trailer of coal around, you know."
"Thank you, Mr. Ferguson," Lachlan forced through gritted teeth. "It's a tractor would have sufficed."
The elder glanced to Lachlan, then back to Barry.
"So you can make it go?"
"I have some ideas," returned Barry.
Lachlan huffed. "But without tools and a workshop?"
"Actually, sir," the elder held up his hand for silence.
"You, your name?"
Lachlan straightened.
"I am Lachlan King, here on the Queen's business." "You are a king?"
"What?" Lachlan shook his head.
No, you misunderstand."
The elder grinned, showing that he did not in the least bit misunderstand.
"Then you must come meet our rangatira, our king, certainly. Whoever thought a king of the Pākehā would come to visit our humble forests riding a tractor?"